We do need the grace of the Lord to learn to trust Him, follow in His steps, and to be what He would have us to be in this world in which we live, and just learn to trust and obey and follow Him. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, and then we'll be also reading in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11. And so if you want to find both of those places. Romans chapter number 8 is a wonderful, the book of Romans is a very powerful book in the New Testament, but Romans chapter 8 has so many things that are important to you and I as a believer, and the Apostle Paul gives us some statements here concerning our walk with the Lord. And in verse number 35 is where we want to begin reading. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Very familiar verses, but also very, very important to you and I as believers. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Certainly Paul is dealing here with the the walk of the believer, and making statement that is very very clear here, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Doesn't matter, persecutions, trials, all the sufferings of life, those things that come our way, they cannot, will not, will never separate us from God's love. God loved us before we loved Him, and God will love us continually throughout all the days of our life, and we'll experience the result of that love when we get to heaven, and we'll see Him that loved us. Now, over in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, Paul, in this chapter, is dealing with the sufferings that he personally went through. And tonight I want us to just think about a little bit, and I doubt we get through with everything, but some things about the sufferings of the child of God. That's an age-old question. That's a mystery that people have, is why do we suffer? Why does mankind suffer? What's the reason for that? And so Paul, here in this chapter of 2 Corinthians, he tells us some of his personal suffering that he went through as a preacher. And we'll pick up the reading in verse number 24. It says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So five times Paul was whipped with 39 stripes. And so that's five different occasions, and I'll guarantee you that was not a casual thing. It was something that brought much pain and suffering in his life. And so he says, of the Jews, five times received 40 stripes, save one. Then he says in verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, and I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in peril by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? That's a question. He says, do you think I'm not weak, or I'm a strong person? He says, who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of Demetrius with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul, in these verses 24 through 33, gives us much of the suffering that he went through as a preacher of the gospel, as a Christian, as a believer. And Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'll glory in my infirmities. If I'm going to have any kind of glory, it will be because of the infirmities that are afflicted upon me. And he lists those things here. As I said a moment ago, one of the mysteries of life is, why do people suffer? And I guess a greater mystery is, why does the Christian suffer? And there's none of us in here that have gone through what Paul has gone through. None of us in here has suffered like many people around the world are even suffering tonight. But there are many different kinds of suffering that comes upon us. There's a physical suffering of health that diminishes and goes away. There's a mental suffering that sometimes overtakes individuals. There are suffering that's self-inflicted. There are so many different kinds of sufferings that come to us, and it is a mystery many times, these things that come unbeknownst to us, and those things that we do not plan or do not as a result of some action that we make. Sometimes we wonder, how and why does this come to us? And I believe Paul here gives us a good passage here concerning the suffering that he went through. And Paul suffered much for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I can discern in the Scripture, I don't hear him complaining about his suffering. I hear him praying and asking God at times to deliver him. I find, as he gives here, he was delivered in a basket out a window over a wall at one time. But you don't hear him complaining. He prays to the Lord to remove the thorn of his flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And Paul, immediately from that point on, he continues on with his ministry of ministering unto the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even this is mentioned here in these verses in this passage, verse 28. He says, besides all these things, I have the care of all the churches. Paul had responsibility. Paul had many things that came upon him. And he said, in the midst of all these beatings and stripes and rods and being shipwrecked and being left for dead, he says, even with all of that, he says, I have in my mind, in my heart, the care of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, suffering is not always a sign of our rebellion against the Lord. Suffering is not a sign that God has forsaken us. Sometimes we may feel like, we say, where is the Lord? We may feel like he is in a far distant land from us, but he has not forsaken us, and he has not give us over. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And that word never there means he will never do that. In the midst of good times, in the midst of trials, in the midst of sufferings, God has promised that he will be there with us. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20 says that we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so as long as we are here, the Lord has promised to be with us. Suffering is not God forsaking us. Suffering is not a sign that God does not love us, that verse in Romans tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can make His love depart from us. And so suffering is not that God doesn't love us. Suffering is sometimes allowed, many times allowed, for our good and for His glory. You can read many times in the Scripture where someone was suffering, but it was yet at the end of the story you find it was for the glory of the Lord and it was for the good of those that were in trial. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 is, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Peter says there's many times there's multiple temptations that come to us, and it makes us heavy in heart, heavy in spirit, makes us have the trials that come to us, trouble us. And then Peter says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So it's a subject that many writers of the Scripture deals with. It's a subject that every one of us deal with. I believe there's not a Christian that somehow in our lives, somewhere in our lives, we do not suffer something. Something comes to us, and sometimes it's accidents, sometimes it's trials, sometimes it's the physical inability, but the suffering comes because we are in a physical body that is deteriorating, and many times we are overcome with those problems of life. But every Christian experiences trials and suffering. Every child of God shares in the suffering that is common to mankind. There's not a one of us in here tonight that probably could say, "I have never suffered anything." And because suffering comes to everyone, and the longer we're here upon this earth, the more that it will come to us. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, chapter number 14, verse number 1, Job says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days," and then he says, "and full of trouble." So we are here just for a little while, 70 years, 70 years is what the Lord gives us. And the longer we're here, the more suffering comes. We're compared to eternity, it's still just a few days, but those days are full of trouble. Job goes on and says in verse number 2 of that chapter 14, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." We're not immune to this thing called suffering. And sometimes suffering will throw a weak Christian and will bring about turmoil in their heart and their life. And sometimes they begin to doubt the things of God and begin to doubt the things that the Lord has for them. But we find that God has a plan for our life, and much of that plan comes through the thing of suffering. Christians are, we experience just simply because, sometimes just because we're Christians. There are multiple people tonight around this world that are suffering just because they name the name of Christ. Many of them in different countries, in foreign countries, at least foreign to us, they are in different lands, and sometimes they suffer just simply because they are Christians. Sometimes they have to hide their identity. Sometimes our missionaries have to hide who they are and what they're doing because they will suffer, sometimes even be taken out of the country, sometimes even physically abused and misused just simply because they are a child of God. So suffering comes to every one of us. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 29 says, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." And so if we're a Christian, persecution comes, suffering comes, and it's certainly something that we should realize that God knows all about that. God helps us with it. God sees us through. God gives us a way of escape. The Scripture promises us that He'll never put on us more than we can bear, and He will give us a way of escape from the things of life. And Paul tells us those things in many of his writings. Again, in 1 Peter, Peter deals with it continually. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering." So if the Lord suffered, and we know He did, then Peter says we ought to rejoice that we are partakers in the suffering that is identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." And so we have these instances in the Scripture that tells us without any question in our mind that we're going to suffer. There may be suffering in here tonight. There may be suffering of our heart. There may be internal needs that only the Lord knows. There may be struggles in our lives and our families that we know about and God knows about. And so that is a suffering that comes to us. Trials are both intermediate, and sometimes they're short. Sometimes they are severe. Sometimes they're extremely painful. Sometimes they are very difficult to go through. But we have to realize that the Lord knows where we are, and those trials, it's not some strange thing. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through anything. I know many times we think that I'm the only one that's ever gone through this problem. But the Bible says don't think it a strange thing, because we've all gone through sufferings of our life. Trials are sometimes short, sometimes they're long. But they're always for our good. For the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 again, tells us that all things work together for good to those of us that love God, to those of us who are the called of the Lord according to His purpose. And He tells us that these things are working out for our good. And sometimes the struggles come, and sometimes it's a light affliction, sometimes it's a severe affliction that comes to us. And trials can become very, very severe. Job lost all that he had in just a day. He lost that which was dear to him, of his family, his livelihood, and lost the confidence of his wife, lost the confidence of his friends. And Job suffered much for the things of God, for the Scripture says Job was a righteous man. And so we find that the trials that are there, they come many different ways, and many different problems arise. We are certainly to know that there are manifold temptations, many temptations, many problems. If we would go through our minds, we could think throughout this day, or even up through this week, Wednesday of this week, we would think of many, many temptations and trials that maybe have come to our face, come to our life, and sometimes those things are manifold. The devil knows where to attack. The devil knows how to attack. Sometimes it's a physical, as I said a while ago. It can be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be emotional. It can be family. It can be persecutions. It can be financial. You name it, we can be suffering because of those things. He said, "Well, I've never gone through that." Then you thank the Lord that you haven't, because before you leave this world, you will have some suffering. And there will be some problems that come. And so the tribulations that come, they are for a purpose, that we learn to rely upon Him, learn to follow His direction and follow His desire for our life. And trials show us what we can maybe bear even in the future. We read a moment ago, 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. And then Peter says, "And the gold, it passes away." Now, we think it's very important. We think, and it is very costly. It's a very high-priced material. But it's going to pass away. And we realize that when the trials are over, those things are more precious to us than even the gold and the silver and the stones that we might think are so very, very important. The trials of our faith, the trials that come to us, the struggles that come. Psalm 66 and verse 10 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. thou hast tried us as silver is tried. So the Lord, there's a purpose in everything that comes. There's a purpose of God in our heart, in our life, for every thing that comes to us. And then those things will become more precious to us. Genesis chapter number 22, speaking here in verse number 1, and also verse number 12, says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abram, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand on the land. Don't destroy the land, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Can you imagine the trial that was going through, that Abraham was going through as he went up the mountain and had his son with him, ready, willing, and was able to sacrifice his son? And God stayed his hand. God said, "Now I know that you're faithful." Now, God says, "Now I can know that I can trust you." And so that trial that Abraham was going through up one side of the mountain became a very important blessing as he came down. And that trial that was burdensome to him on the way up was a blessing on the way down. And Abraham, Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed that if God permitted him to destroy his son, that God would raise him from the dead. And in figure, he did, because he was willing to do that. And therefore, he becomes a perfect picture and a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that which we just went through this past Lord's Day, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. There are so many instances and so many things given to us in the Scripture that show us and gives to us a picture and a type of the resurrection of our Lord. And therefore, we can relate that He was able to raise from the dead, and therefore He gives us ability also to do that. And so our future is in His hand, and that future may be filled with some tears, may be filled with some problems, but thank God on the other side there's the blessings of the Lord. And He paid it all to Him we owe. And tonight we sing the songs that we rejoice in, that the Lord loves us, He cares for us. And so whatever comes our way, whatever problem might arise to us, whatever suffering may be in us, thank the Lord, He's there. As I said a while ago, the suffering is not necessarily to harm us or to bring problems to us, but it's to help us to grow and mature and to help somebody else in the future down the way of the problems that are faced by different people. What you face in your life, somewhere you'll be able to help somebody that's facing the same thing. What we lose, sometimes we can be a comfort to others that lose the same thing. What we have in our life and the problems, and God sees us through that, then we can be a blessing to those that we come in contact with, that will show us and can help us to relate to them that God can deliver, that God will deliver, because He is faithful and He is true. Suffering accomplishes some things for the child of God. First of all, it makes our faith much more strong. Our faith becomes grounded in the things of the Lord. And the trials and the suffering that comes, we realize and we understand that God has brought us through. And so therefore, if God can do that for me today, He can take care of me whatever comes tomorrow. None of us know what tomorrow may hold. None of us know what difficulty may come our life tomorrow or even tonight before we pillow our head. We're not immune from problems. We're not immune from tragedy that comes in life. But thank God He's there. And He will help us. The trials will try our faith. They'll try us, and God will prove us, just like He did Abraham. He said, Now I know that I can trust you, because you was willing to offer up your only son. And thank God He can help us with our trials and which come to us. And He has proved us, and He has tried us, as I read there in Psalm 66:10. And as He has given to us the blessings of carrying us through, helping us in the way of life to serve Him. So trials will try our faith. trials will strengthen our faith. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 4, in verse number 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here the Lord is in the ship with the disciples. He's asleep in the back part of the ship, and there's a storm raging outside, and they fear for their lives. And they ask the foolish question, Lord, do you not care for us? Do you not have any understanding that we're going to perish? And so the Lord, he rebukes the sea, and then he rebukes the seamen. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and it all became still. And then he asks them, Why is there no faith? Why have you no faith? And then the Bible says they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thank God he has control of it all. If he can control the fierce wind and the storms out on the sea, he can take care of my heart. He can take care of your heart. He can take care of our lives because he is able. And we need to learn whatever place God puts us, whatever place we find ourselves living and serving the Lord, whatever difficulty comes to our life, we need to learn that it is the Lord's will and he will help us. Trials will come to us. The trials are fierce at many times. Trials will strengthen us. And sometimes trials are a means of God's discipline. Now, I don't think every problem that comes our way is a discipline from the Lord. And I don't think I need anybody to tell me when God's disciplining me. And I don't think you need anybody to tell you when God's disciplining you. I didn't have any problem when I knew my dad and mom was taking care of me. And I don't have any problem when I know the Lord says, I want you to understand this. And you and I, as a believer, as a Christian, sometimes the struggles come, sometimes the problems come, sometimes the suffering comes because it is a disciplinary action of the Lord to keep us in the way, to keep us back and get us back on the path of serving him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. So we understand as a Christian, as a believer, there is a chastening hand of God. There is a correcting hand, a disciplined hand of the Lord. And he says, don't despise that. The Lord is taking us and molding us and helping us to get back in the way for him and to serve him. He says, not only do you not despise it, he says, nor faint. Don't become weary when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we are children of God, we can expect that God will discipline us. Because we don't live perfect. We don't live anywhere near that. And just as a mother and a dad discipline their children, use different means, different ways to correct their children, God uses a lot of different things to correct us and to help us. And so we find that it is for our profit. It is for our good. Even though we don't want it, we don't like it, we don't desire it, we don't pray, Lord, go ahead and discipline me. No, we ask for mercy. We ask for God to not do those things. And sometimes he withholds, but many times he gives us the disciplinary action that we need just because of where we are in our personal life and living away from God. He draws us near to him. And and he is our as our good shepherd. He'll help us and he'll lead us by paths of righteousness, and he'll give us the free water of salvation. He'll give us the freshness of the Lord, and we have to endure, and certainly we do not despise, nor do we faint. A lot of times people say, well, God's done with me. He's doing this to me. He's letting this happen. We don't faint at that. That ought to make us stronger and say, God loves me, therefore He wants my attention, and here I am, Lord. Would You help me? Too many times we go the wrong direction. Too many times we faint. Too many times we despise. Too many times we talk against God and His correction. But He is faithful, and He will help us. And if we belong to Him, then He does chasten us. If we are a believer, if we are a Christian, then He has promised us there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, God does chasten those whom He loves. The reason we correct our children is because we love them. The reason we correct our little boys and girls that grow up in our homes is because we don't want some danger to come to them. We tell them, don't touch the stove, don't touch that, don't do that, because if you do, it's going to hurt you. And we try to make sure they don't do that, and they reach for it, and we say no. And we continually tell them. And God does spiritually the same thing for you and I. So trials come. Trials strengthen us. Trials many times are a form of discipline to us. And trials will bring humility to the child of God. It'll make us realize we're not as good, we're not as great, we're not as wonderful as sometimes we make ourselves out to be. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." The reason they were in the wilderness was because they rebelled against God. And that was the physical reason why they were there. But as God was wandering them around and going in circles and not knowing which way they were going, and they wandered there 40 years, here He tells us in Deuteronomy that it was to humble them. It was to bring them low, is to bring them to a position and to a place that they knew that God was the only one that could deliver them, that God was the only one that could help them. He says, He did this to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Verse 3 says, "And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee known the man that doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." God led them through the wilderness to humble them. And He says, and He did that. They had no food, they had no water, they had to depend on God. When they needed food, He sent them angel food. When they needed water, He sent them the rock. And you and I tonight, when we need things, I'm glad He can send it to us. And He's many times those will help us to be humble in the sight of God, to realize that our being, our well-being is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." Paul says, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh." What he means here, he says, to keep me from being exalted above everybody else. Paul's saying, so that I wouldn't think too highly of me because of the abundance of the revelations. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about this book. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Out of the New Testament books, Paul says, God gave me abundance of revelations. So not that I would be highly exalted in my heart and say, look who I am, what I've done. God really loves me. God takes care of me. God gives me all these good things. Paul said, God sent me a thorn in the flesh to humble him, to keep him in right position of the Lord. And so Paul says, I prayed, but God didn't take it away. And he said, my grace is sufficient. Trials humble the believer. Trials will purify the believer. And trials will prove the sufficiency of the marvelous grace of our Lord. There's not anything we need tonight that God can't do. There's not any need in my life. There's not any need in your life. And if these pews were packed with people, there's not a need in anybody's life that our God cannot supply. He is able. And so the trials that come to us prove to us His marvelous grace. We are saved by grace. Thank God we live by grace. Every day of our life, we have to depend upon the Lord. He said, well, I don't need God. I do this, I do that, and I take care of this. And before long, you won't be taking care of anything. God is the one that's able. He gives us sufficiency of life. He gives us sufficiency of strength and of mind and of being to be able to serve the Lord with all the good things that He gives to us. And so the trials that come our way, I've never been beaten with a whip. I've never been beaten with a rod. I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been in the deep. I've never been left for dead like Paul. But we do have our own personal things that we know about that we have to depend on God to take care of us. Who gives us health? Who gives us strength? Who gives us ability to even be able to get up in the morning? You realize God can let one little molecule in our mind go bad, and we wouldn't even know who we are tomorrow. And we wouldn't know anybody else. But God keeps us going, and He serves us as we serve Him. And when we get out of the way, sometimes He disciplines us with suffering. But many, many sufferings of mankind is not necessarily the discipline of God. Sometimes it's the desire of God that we draw closer to Him, and therefore we depend upon Him more. May the Lord help us to realize, and I don't know what anybody goes through, I don't know what anybody has in their life, but I know one thing, God knows where we are, God knows our need, God knows our disheartenedness, He knows our struggles, He knows our sadness, and I'm glad He's always there. He'll never forsake us. Let's stand together tonight. And